The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, welcome everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. Happy to be here. And for many of you who know, who have been doing loving kindness practice, a part of the practice is the wish for happiness, both wishing other people to be happy, but also part of it is wishing ourselves to be happy. And to be sure, this practice does help create the conditions in which we can be happy, that helps increase happiness. But that doesn't mean that should be the only thing we should ever do, right, to increase happiness. I don't have to tell you that. All of us know this. But recently there was a study that was published. I didn't read the study itself. I read a report about it. And it talked about this study that they did with undergraduates. So I'm imagining it's some professor saying, okay, if you want an A in this class, you got to participate in my study or something like this. I don't know. And so what they did is they broke up, they had a number of different groups of people, and some of them, they instructed them to do some acts of kindness. So the kindness was things like cooking dinner for somebody, doing a chore for somebody, taking care of something, paying for someone's coffee in line behind you. I have to say, someone did that for me just completely random. That was such a sweet thing. It was just really, the person said, I'm buying you coffee, what are you getting? And I'm like, I was just caught off guard, but it was such a sweet thing. So, that still sticks with me. Some of the other acts of kindness were things like visiting a relative or sending a thank you note or, just things like this. These are not giant gestures. These are just common things that we do in our everyday life or as part of our relationships that we have. So for another group of participants in this study, they didn't have them do any of these particular acts of kindness. And what they asked everybody to do is to fill out this survey, this questionnaire, that looked at their positive and negative feelings over the preceding 24 hours and their overall life satisfaction. I don't know exactly what these types of questions were, but so then what they did, what I thought was interesting, is they asked those people who didn't do any particular acts of kindness to just remember acts of kindness they've done in the past, just bring to mind. And they reported the same degree of happiness of those people who were actively out there doing acts of kindness. I don't know, what the magnitude of the difference was, but it was small-ish, or if there was any difference. But this just points to the power of doing acts of kindness. Not only does it make us feel happy, it helps support other people, but we can also bring these to mind at a later time. When we feel like we need some boost, when we're feeling anything except happy, when we feel like things are not going our way, if we have a practice of doing these small little bits of kindness, they can support us in so many ways. Of course, the trick is to remember to bring them to mind and to not get lost in the inner critic that's just contracted around this particular idea of ourselves as whatever might be a lousy person or whatever we might have about ourselves. And this is where loving kindness practice can help. Loving kindness practice helps kind of prime the mind or open the mind, open the heart, and make it a little bit easier to bring to mind positive aspects about ourselves, including past acts of kindness that we've done. So in this way, both loving-kindness practice itself can help us feel a little bit happier, a little bit more open, a little bit more warm or tender in some kind of way. But it also makes it easier to access other things that can support a sense of well-being. Other mind states, other maybe, shall I say, heart states that can support us. I think many of us have this idea of a downward spiral, like, oh, I ate chocolate. Well, because I ate chocolate, I might as well just eat French fries. And because I ate chocolate and French fries, I might as well just eat pizza. I know, I'm just making this up. But you know, this kind of feeling that, like, it just, okay, I'll start eating healthy on Monday. But, of course, it works the other way, too, right? Some of these pause in upward spiral. So this is just one way in which some loving kindness practice might support us to have a better sense of well-being, happiness. Maybe happiness is too strong a word. Maybe even there's just a little bit more ease, a bit more spaciousness, a little bit more openness. So that's what we'll be doing this evening, is practicing some loving kindness. For those of you who haven't been here before, I'll say that the way that I teach it, there's a number of different ways you can teach loving kindness. Some common elements, but the way that I teach it, I like to highlight that there's three factors, three aspects to loving kindness practice. And maybe one, before I say these three aspects, I'll say that there's an attitude, there's an approach, there's a frame of reference we can use in whichever way we practice loving kindness, and that is to start where it's easy. Start where it's easy. Start where it's easy. It's so easy, or it is easy. We have this idea like, okay, here's a problem. I discovered this tool I just learned, and I'm going to apply it to this problem that I have. Makes perfect sense to do that. But we often need to cultivate this tool, this loving kindness, this capacity, before it can work in all these different ways, different avenues, different aspects of our lives. Maybe like, I don't know, what comes to mind is sharpening a blade so that we can kind of cut through some of the things that are tying us down. And some ways to sharpen the blade is to do exactly what we're going to be doing this evening, and that is to be practicing loving kindness. So I say start where it's easy as a guide, that if you find yourself struggling, can you find a way in which to make it easy again? And you can trust, or maybe you can borrow some of my confidence, that once we have this experience of loving kindness where it's a little bit easy, it naturally grows. It naturally expands. It naturally starts to go to those areas that are more difficult to us. And as our capacity grows, as the blade gets sharper, then we can apply it to more and more areas of our lives. Okay, starting where it's easy. For many of us, that is with somebody who has really directly supported us, has made a big difference in our lives in a really meaningful, impactful way. This doesn't mean you have a personal relationship with them. You may, but it could also just be a teacher, a spiritual teacher, some other type of teacher, somebody that has guided you, supported you in some particular way. Or, if that doesn't, nobody comes to mind, a lovable being. Some people start with puppies or kittens and babies. I always smile when I say that. I can't help it. There's just something that's a little bit, you know, I smile when I think of puppies, kittens, and babies. And that's the point. There's something that's kind of like brings a little warmth and softness to the heart. So that's the first aspect, is to bring to mind a lovable being. And the second is, it might be, no guarantees, and it's perfectly fine if it's not there, it might be that there are some physical sensations that go along with cultivating loving kindness. There might be some, maybe it's a really subtle feeling of warmth in the heart or in the belly. Maybe there's a sense of relaxation, a sense of well-being, a sense of contentment, a little bit more settledness. This might be a really obvious or it might be really subtle. But if it's there, to allow it to support you. And then the third element, the third aspect of loving kindness practice to support us cultivating loving kindness is to repeat the phrases. I'll be leading us in phrases, and you can repeat them in your mind silently. And it's a way in which we have this intention to cultivate loving kindness, and then the mind's going to drift off, and the phrases are just a way to come back. Oh yeah, loving kindness. And then the mind is going to drift off, and then we'll come back. Oh yeah, loving kindness. And this is just what happens. It's our minds obvious, will drift, and this saying the phrases is a way to keep us connected to our intention. So maybe with that as an introduction, start by just taking an alert posture, a posture that is comfortable. Lying down is clearly a great option for some people. But also to have a certain amount of ease and a certain amount of way which feels like, yeah, okay, I'm going to apply myself to this task here. So there's a little bit of a balance here. So enough alertness and uprightness that you don't immediately fall asleep, and well as some ease and comfort. Then let's take three long, slow, deep breaths. Sometimes with these longer breaths, there can be a sense of relaxation with the exhale. Then allowing the breath to return to normal. And then to support a certain amount of ease or well-being, it's helpful to do a body scan, just to check in with different areas of the body. It might be that bringing our attention to different areas supports a certain amount of ease or relaxation or letting go. Some common places we hold tension or around the eyes and or the jaw. Sometimes it's helpful to wiggle the jaw a little bit. I also like to tuck the chin just a tiny, tiny bit, just a really small movement, might not even be noticeable, which opens up the space in the neck a little bit and helps the spine to be upright. And check in with the shoulders, having them be away from the ears. And the upper back, the lower back, the chest. Maybe there can be just a small, really small movement again to open the chest, the belly. Maybe there can be some softness. And feeling the pressure of the chair, or the cushion, or the floor against your body, feeling supported. You're here. Upper legs, lower legs, and your feet. upper arms, lower arms, and hands. You might feel what your hands are touching. Are they, whatever they're touching, are they warm or cool, rough or smooth? Then you can bring your attention to the experience inside the hands in some kind of way. Maybe there's tingling, throbbing. Maybe there's a feeling of pulsing. Just feeling the hands. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. And in the same way, we can bring the same type of attention to the sensations of breathing. The movement of the abdomen or the chest or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Just noticing those sensations. If the mind wanders, which of course it's going to wander, you've been thinking all day, it's not going to suddenly stop, chances are, when you get here. Just very simply, gently begin again with the sensations of breathing. What does it feel like to have an in-breath? Can we have a sense of curiosity? What does it feel like to have an out-breath? So this practice, mindfulness of breathing, can be an alternative practice if for whatever reason, loving kindness practice doesn't feel like the right practice for you, or starts to feel overwhelming, or you feel confused, or not quite sure what to do. You can always come back to this, the sensations of breathing. Just hang out with the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest, for example. then to begin loving kindness practice. You can bring to mind a lovable being, somewhere where it's easy, it's uncomplicated, it's no struggle associated with it. Somebody who supported you, helped you. Maybe puppies, babies, and kittens. Bring them to mind. And you might check in with the body. Is there might be a type of inner smile in some kind of way, a little yes, or maybe a little warmth, or maybe there aren't any particular words. There might not be too, that's perfectly fine. And then having this lovable being in mind, you can repeat the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I check in with the body, see if there's a feeling of well-being, ease, warmth, spaciousness that can support you in your sending goodwill, benevolence to others. And an invitation, you're welcome to modify the phrases. They don't have to be these exact words. There might be other words that resonate better with you. And bringing the lovable being to mind again, refreshing the sense of them in our minds. And continuing with the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So now we can build on this foundation, this loving kindness that we're cultivating, and expand it, stretch it to include ourselves in just the same way. So bring to mind yourself in whichever way feels the most accessible. Might be a mental image of how you are today. Some people find it easier to do a younger version of themselves. That's perfectly fine. Some people find it easier just to do the felt sense of sitting here right now, as opposed to an image, more experiential or felt sense. You can check in with the body again and see if there's been any shift and any sense of well-being, any sense of okayness. And then we'll use the phrases, just changing the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. and to support our cultivation of loving kindness. It can be helpful to do some equanimity practice. So it's done in this similar way, similar manner. But for this practice, bring to mind somebody that you care about, somebody that you have a relationship with, and there's something that they do that's maybe just mildly annoying. Don't choose the most difficult person in your life, but somebody that you have warmth and care towards, but maybe they're a little bit irritating sometimes. I can bring that person to mind. And then the phrases for equanimity practice are a little bit different. You can repeat in your mind. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And now maybe while we're settled, the mind is maybe a little bit more quiet. See if you can bring to mind something, an act of kindness that you did for someone. It can be very minor. Just something uncomplicated. Maybe it's returning the shopping cart up to near the front door of the grocery store. Maybe it's holding the elevator door for somebody. Maybe it's something bigger. But can you allow yourself to feel okay, feel happy, feel some warmth around this recognition? The act of kindness you've done? And can you allow that act of kindness, the feeling of warmth, bringing that to mind. Can you allow that to support you? I'm not saying this in a Pollyanna, everything's perfect and you've never done anything except perfect things your whole life. All I'm saying is, let's not dismiss some of the things that we do, these acts of kindness. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So some of you have heard me say that sometimes when we have some experiences, especially like meditation experiences, it can be helpful to articulate them in some particular way, maybe organize our thoughts around what happened. Kind of help us to maybe integrate them more or to bring them to life in some particular way. So to help support this, it can be helpful to get into a small group and just to talk about a little bit what that experience was like. You don't have to share your deepest, darkest secrets, and you can say that I slept through the whole thing, I have no idea what she was talking about. Or it can be somewhere in between. You can talk a little bit, maybe the different practices. We did a number of different practices there. If one felt resonant with you, or if one felt particularly difficult for you, or you just the phrases or anything, there's a whole big range. But if you'd like to get into groups of three, and it can be helpful to not meet with people that you came with, no requirement, but it can be nice to kind of talk to people that perhaps you don't know and maybe have a different background than you. So if you'd like to get in groups of three, then I'll ring a bell in maybe a little bit, about 10 minutes or so, and we can meet again in here. Thank you. So now I'd just like to open it up. We have just a few minutes for any general questions or comments. Either about the meditation or what that was like for the small groups, or maybe something came up in the discussions that you have a question about, or anything you'd like to say. Yeah.
I was just going to say, for me, it was nice to hear everyone's experience and to recognize that other people have similar experiences, to be able to talk about that, things you don't normally have a chance to.
Yeah. So I'll repeat what you said just so everybody can hear. That you said how it was nice to talk to other people about your experiences, both to recognize that other people we have shared experiences. And sometimes these things we can't talk about with people. You didn't say this exactly, but unless they've had those experiences. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Anybody else have a comment or a question? You better be careful, right? If you move your hand here, I'm going to think you're raising your hand, and then I'm going to ask you to speak. Okay. So I wish you all happiness and safety, health, and ease. Just a friendly reminder, wash your hands. Thank you.